Okay. Way to go, Senator Hastert. Okay, committee. We'll bring it back together here, and we have the Department of Ag with us, and we'd just like to thank you for the delay and waiting with us and being patient. And Jason, if you'd like to introduce yourself and your team, that would be great. And also what we've been doing since we have new members on JAC is just if you want to give a quick overview and maybe indulge us with some questions if they come up and then go into your supplemental request. Okay.
Madam Chair, a quick overview of the department.
Yep.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
It's an honor to appear before you today. Thank you for the opportunity. I am Jason Furnio, the director of the Wyoming Department of Agriculture. With me today, I have on my right our business officer, Julie Cook. And behind me, we have Karen Everett, our administrative services manager. Dean Finkenbinder, our consumer health services manager. Hank Uden, our technical services manager. Mike Leith, Analytical Services Manager from Laramie. Leanne Stevenson, the Natural Resource and Policy Manager. James Goodrich, the State Fair Director, coming down from Douglas. And Ann Whitman with Wyoming Beef Council as well. As an overview of the department, as you can maybe tell by the titles of some of those areas, we are a small department, but we are broad in our duties. We do range. We have a lot of issues that deal with regulation on both human health and safety, along with things like fuel and weights and measures. From the administrative side, we work on a lot of policy issues, a lot of advocacy work, honestly, on the national level for Wyoming agriculture. We do have the state fair that's under us as well, and that is not only the week-long event of the state fair itself, but the park is managed under the Wyoming Department of Agriculture. And we do, if Mr. Goodrich can correct me, but over 500 event days outside of the Wyoming State Fair that we do have things that go on that park as well. Our Natural Resources Division does a lot of policy work dealing with federal agencies, within the state of Wyoming, certainly they do a lot of commenting on issues that happen on federal grounds, both Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management. And they spend a lot of time working, helping ranchers work within the system and understand the system as best they can and deal with the issues that come up. So our analytical services laboratory over in Laramie deals with basically we have a chemistry and a biology lab over there, and we deal with a lot of different things, with a lot of water sampling, a lot of things that happen over there. So with that, a brief overview, but certainly would ask for any questions that you have about the department.
Committee, are there any questions of Jason before we start? Okay. And if you, Julie, are you going to do the supplemental request, or is Jason? Okay. Why don't you go ahead and start
okay.
then?
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. We will begin on page 9 with our supplemental requests. This request is dealing with the new laboratory for the weights and measures. As you'll recall, we will be moving into the new laboratory building with the Liquor Commission. And what we are asking for in this request was $228,000 for operational infrastructure and equipment that is necessary to continue the duty that we have to the citizens of the state of Wyoming. That request, and working with capital construction or construction management, we know that we'll need $205,500. This is a timing issue. It has been denied by the governor's office, but we are concerned that we will have some gap in service because of the timing.
What exactly is the farm and shop equipment? Have you got that listed in here?
We do have a list of it. I do not think it is in this list in the book. We can get that information to you, Senator Meyer, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Director, can you go through what the reasoning is on the gap for the timing on the weight and measures? And I mean, you don't have to be extensive, but just so that we can have a little better understanding okay. of your concerns.
Madam Chair, if I can ask Hank Uden with our Tech Services Division to answer that question. He has been working with construction management on the timing of the laboratory.
Great. Mr. Uden, there's that mobile mic there.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Hank Uden with the Wyoming Department of Agriculture. The primarily it was when the from the last budget session when the appropriation was provided for the laboratories and the Liquor Commission to be moved. The they're moving forward right now. They're looking to break ground this coming March. And with our move into the new building as planned for next February, as you were, that would put us right before or right at the beginning of the next budget session. So at this time, for us to make this move and to have the equipment in place, that's why we'd be making that request at this time.
Hank, when you visited with the governor on this, of course, it's a denial here, but did he discuss anything about using flex funds or V11 or any of that process in order to assist if that were to occur?
Madam Chair, Julie Cook, when we did talk with him about this, he said that he thought that we might be able to work something out through the legislative process, some early appropriation. But since it would be February, you'd still be working on that appropriation. But that was his advice to us at that time.
Okay, great. Senator Meyer.
Was there a budget, attached to the move as far as any moving expenses or anything like that originally from any type of construction expenses or any other expenses that might have some kind of a reversion tied to it? Or
Ms. Cook?
Madam Chairman, at that time, the entire appropriation was worked up through construction management. And at that time, when the appropriation was made, we didn't have much say into that issue, and we were not appropriated any money for that. Hank has been working very closely with construction management. He provided the complete listing, which I'll be providing to you, that has 37 items on it. Of that, 9 of those were things they thought that they might be able to fit into their budget through the bid process. And so we're just currently waiting on that. The rest they didn't feel they had the funding for at all.
Okay. And Ms. Cook, can you make certain to have an update before we go into markup, which I think will be next Friday, just to see where you're at and make sure we have a current handout on that? Because we do need to take that in consideration if you're going to make that move.
Yes, I will, Ms. Madam Chairman, I will have that over to you early next week, the listing of what we had asked, what we think we need, and what is being provided for through the budget that was provided.
Thank you. All right. Director, if you'd like to continue.
Okay, thank you. And if I can, just for a moment, you all were provided a handout with the list of our, at least from the agency perspective, so you have that, what our priorities were.
It's been a little bit of a confusing day here.
I understand. So
I saw it.
But you have seen it. That makes me feel better. So, okay. Our second item is on page 13. And this is a request for $23,000 for updated wiring to a Category 6 wiring in our analytical services lab. Our wiring over in that building is not, it does not work with updated computer equipment. This request has been approved by the CIO and the governor's office. Okay. Our next request is on page 17. This is requesting $200,000 to fund the Rangeland Health Assessment Program. This legislation was passed last year through the legislature. The governor vetoed the $200,000 appropriation out of it and asked basically that we set up a program and then come back and ask for the appropriation. We have moved through that process. We've been through the rules and the rulemaking process and are trying to move forward. We do believe we have a program in place.
And Jason, have you supplied us with what that looks like, that program now for JAC?
We have not.
Okay, that'd probably be a good thing to have also provided to us by next week.
By early next week, Madam Chair. Okay, we can do that.
Any other questions, committee, on this? Okay, continue, please.
Okay. The next request is the number one priority in the department, and it's on page 21, and this is requesting $2,660,000 for grasshopper funding, and we do have a handout available today that is a map of what has just been, the survey says 2010, but this 2010 they took the survey to predict what grasshoppers will look like in 2011. The summer, as you know, we had funding last year in I think almost exactly the same amount through the Department of Ag and State Lands. The $2,660,000 looks like it will be required again, and then we're hoping that we'll be over the hump with that.
All right, Representative Patterson.
Madam Chair and Director, what goes into your forecasting as far as needs for these funds as you're forecasting going forward?
All right. Madam Chair, Representative Patterson, if I could have Hank Ute and Slade Franklin address that question.
Mr. Franklin?
Madam Chair, I'll have Slade Franklin respond to that directly.
Madam Chair, Slade Franklin, Weed and Pest Coordinator, Department of Ag. Representative Patterson, what we do is we work with the Weed and Pest Districts. All the Weed and Pest Districts are holding landowner meetings across their county in terms of landowners who would like to participate or are having problems. They base their budgetary needs based on those meetings, who's going to participate, and with early, I guess I'd call it early sign-up by those landowners.
Senator Meyer.
Madam Chairman, Slade, one of the things that I would hope we do maybe next year is to, if there's any way we can get anybody out in the field to actually advise the landowners. I know we had some landowners that signed up. They thought they weren't going to have a problem. They turned their money back in. 3 weeks, a month later, bam, here comes the grasshoppers, and they're saying, boy, did I make a mistake. But so I'm trying to figure out how we can maybe get, I guess, maybe a little education to the weed and pest people so they can do the right kind of surveys, some coordination in the field to let people know what to look for, proper climate monitoring, whatever that has to happen. So the people that can give their money back and they're not going to be affected by it, so other people can use it that would be affected by it. Maybe a little bit more work on that end would give us a more effective program.
Go ahead.
Madam Chair, Senator Meyer, we're certainly working with the USDA and the University of Wyoming. They'll be at all our landowner meetings. They'll be doing a lot of education on identification, understanding of when numbers are at a priority level. And certainly we're going to be looking at a broader spectrum program in terms of croplands and rangeland. And I think the cropland was a lot later season issue than the rangeland was.
Senator Von Slatern.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Franklin, I noticed in the budget that mentions that there that some kind of state assistance with West Nile virus mosquito. Is it the spraying that also kills mosquitoes too? Is that where the benefit comes from this program?
Madam Chair, if I understand your question correctly, the program that's funding for grasshoppers will be allocated through is the Emergency Insect Management Grant Program. That program has historically helped the municipalities and counties with West Nile virus control or vector control, specifically mosquitoes and the Culex tarsalis mosquito. Am I answering your question correctly?
Thank you. You are, Mr. Franklin, but what I was curious about, are they directly applying this spray? Does it kill mosquitoes, or is there just funds in there that will be used for municipality West Nile issues?
Madam Chair, the funds that are in that account will be used specifically to spray for mosquitoes and their larvae, actual on-the-ground spraying.
Another question. Mr. Franklin, also, how do you tell whether you've been successful or not? I mean, is there a simply explained matrix to how you go out and determine whether your spraying did any good?
Madam Chair, sorry, I don't know if that's me.
No, it's erratic, so you're okay.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, I will answer that in two parts. First of all, the mosquito portion of it, we do larval dipping. Does it come closer, maybe?
Yes, sir.
Is that okay? For the mosquito portion of the grants, not much. Mosquito portion of the grants, we usually do larval dipping before and after treatments for the larvicide. We also require in the grant for adult deciding when they're spraying the actual mosquitoes themselves that they do adult counts in the areas where they're doing treatments before and after. With the grasshoppers, we use a system of been created by the APHIS and University of Wyoming of monitoring grasshopper populations before and after treatments occur. We go out and actually do a square yardage, I guess, measurement of how many grasshoppers are there.
And possibly you could tell us, we know that we should fund based on science, and I think before when we started this program and we had this conversation last year in budgeting that it was an incredible amount of money that would be necessary to maybe look at the whole population of getting rid of them. Maybe you could go over that for us, too.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess last year when we did the budget request from the districts, we had a pretty good perspective that it was going to be about $9 million if they were to spray everything they thought they could last year. We're kind of in the same line. That's what we're looking at with this year also. Some of the areas, most of the areas we're going to spray this year will be different than we sprayed this past summer, simply because our spray program worked in 2010. But the acreage is still pretty high in those areas that we didn't treat last year. So we're still looking at probably a $9 million program, and within that $9 million, this $2 million is going to be matched with about $5,000 of landowner funds or district funds. Did I say $5 million? $5 million.
You mean $5 million. Okay. I was going to say. All right. Other questions from the committee? Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Franklin. Director.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our next request is on page 24, and that we are requesting, we have a couple of commercial things up at the State Fair, an oven and a dishwasher that are both old. The oven, I believe, failed last year in the middle of State Fair, and the dishwasher is close. We are requesting $42,000 on the approval out of our State Fair revenue to be able to utilize that and purchase those two.
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Senator Von Fleter.
Thank you. I'm sorry to regress here a little bit. Just want to know when this survey was taken, what time, early year, late year, after spraying?
We're talking about the
grasshopper
survey.
Just curious when it was done.
Madam Chair, that survey was actually taken at the end of the season when the adult grasshoppers were more than likely laying their eggs.
Thank you.
Okay, Madam Chair, if we move to, we're okay with page 24. If we move to page 25, we have our second request for the State Fair. We're asking for the ability to use $30,000, again, of our State Fair revenue in order to purchase an OSHA-required safety harness that's utilized when doing work on top of one of our new buildings, the Equine Center. So we're required by OSHA to do that, so we're asking for the ability to purchase that.
Madam Chairman.
Senator Hester.
My apologies. I was trying to, on page 24, just if I might, just a quick question. The oven and dishwasher that we're looking at for the cafeteria, just for my edification mostly, is that facility used for other functions other than State Fair, or is it strictly for State Fair?
Director.
Madam Chair, Senator Hester, yes, it is used for other functions other than State Fair. As I mentioned, we have on the State Fairgrounds over 500 event days. Now, not all of those utilize the cafeteria, but some of them do. We have anything from things like Boys State that come into there and utilize that facility. We have different trainings where we provide services through the cafeteria as well. So.
You follow? You're okay?
Okay.
Continue.
Okay. All right, back onto page 25. Or, Madam Chair, were there questions there as well? Or
Director, maybe you should just give a review for our committee on your revenues from the State Fair. I mean, this has been a challenging project for you, really, just to get it up to speed, the whole facility, and getting the users in there and the fees. And how do these fees look in comparison to, you know, from 10 years ago, and with all the new structures and how you're using it, where the governor is saying that you want to use the fair revenue instead of the general fund, and maybe some discussion there.
Okay.
Had.
Madam Chair, I'll answer part of that, and then if I can have Julie Cook and then James Goodrich, Director of the State Fair, as well, help me out here. Starting several years ago, prior to the legislature appropriating the funds to build the three specific new large facilities on there, we had a park that was used very seasonally. As those buildings have come online, we have been able to extend the user days significantly on the Wyoming State Fair grounds, and that has been a blessing to us. It's been just a wonderful thing to have happen. Again, I mean, over 500 event days. We're somewhat limited by the size of staff, to be 100% honest, on increasing those numbers. At some point, you can only grow with what you have, but we certainly have seen the growth, and there's room for growth as well on utilization of the buildings throughout there. The revenues themselves, I will ask Julie and James to address that, but we are in a different place today. We have more of a year-long facility. We have some wonderful things that have gone on, for instance, in one of the show center. We use that several months out of the year with the local hockey club. They come in there and they occupy that building with an ice rink. So that's been one of the really fun projects. But things have grown. But to speak specifically to the revenues, I will ask James and Julie to address that.
Madam Chairman, we have seen an increase in revenues throughout both the fair and non-fair events that have been on grounds. I do not have all of those numbers with me, but I would like to say that with increased revenues and increased use of grounds also comes increased costs within State Fair Park. For example, we have a group that is using our facilities for a youth hockey league. The building, when we do not have a youth hockey league in there, has very little utility costs, mostly just to keep things just warm enough so we don't have pipes and stuff going. But when we do have things like youth hockey in there, we're using a lot more electricity use, utility use, and things like that. And so their payment into that is to help pay for that and to pay for, just a little bit of, but it's mostly just to cover the cost of the increased use of those buildings, because we do like to see those buildings being used. In case some of you are curious what the State Fair revenue is, that is money that the Department of Agriculture takes in as part of, during the fair time, that would be the revenues we collect at the gate, and different things like that. And the statute allows for us to keep those and to use those for things that we need to see improved on the grounds. A lot of that funding has been used recently with our cooperation, working with construction management and some of the facilities we've been doing, some of the landscaping, some of that type of thing, and we've been putting money into that. And as I said, within the non-fair time, we're using that to take care of those, in reality, increased costs. When you asked about the cafeteria, is that used year-round? It is, and we have a contract for someone who comes in and they're under contract with us to come in and use the facility. We don't allow people just to come in and start using the facility on their own. So we have a contract with someone in the cafeteria to come in and cook the meals and pay, the food and things. And those are the types of expenses that we're seeing as a result of the increased usage, which is really exciting. Mr. Goodrich will be able to tell you the increase in number of event days. I think that's the best indicator of how often the facilities are being used.
Good. Welcome, Mr. Goodrich, and it would be nice if you would like to give us kind of an update on the complex.
Thank you, Madam Chair. James Goodrich, Wyoming State Fair Director. Director Fernio and Julie have covered most of it. We have seen a significant growth. I can't, in direct answer to your question from 10 years ago, I can't answer that at this time. I've been on board approximately 4 years, but in the 4 years' time, due primarily to the addition of those facilities, we've seen our event days grow from the 300 range to slightly over 500, and we feel we'll be right on. That was 2009. for the year 2010, we feel we're on track with that and we'll probably exceed that. The agreement with the Hockey Association has been referred to several times. What we have an annual lease with that group, and then we also they also share in the utility costs in order to offset that, because that is a large factor. So,
and the other question I had for you is, are you in the process of completing any buildings or building any buildings or any serious maintenance at this moment that would help the committee?
Madam Chair, we are in the process of refurbishing the third section now of our campground. We have recently completed paving on the grounds with areas that were deteriorating. We are constantly in the process of upgrading utilities and infrastructure, roofing, the cafeteria equipment that is mentioned here. We are on an ongoing process with construction management in those major maintenance dollars for those projects grounds wide in order to keep it maintained and keep a balanced approach for all the buildings that exist.
Okay. Well, we've got some interest here. Okay, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, we got you on here in your priority four. I see that that was denied by the SBC. I'm kind of curious as to the basis for that. But before you get there, I see the show center looks like it's used on a year-round basis. Is the livestock pavilion used on a year-round basis also?
Mr. Goodrich.
Madam Chair, Senator Meyer, yes, it is. In fact, we are in our second year of that project of constructing an arena in that building that can be used during the winter months. The arena that we have in the Equine Center is a small arena. For some events, we've constructed an arena in the livestock that's roughly twice the size and enables some of those other arena and performance events to be held in there, primarily for practice. And we are in the process of seeing more activities other than equine in that building as well. We have a tractor pull in there in the winter. We have a Chamber of Commerce garage sale. We have the circus, and so we're in the process of growing those events. And if you want me to, I can shed a little bit of light on the request that was denied by the SBC on the floor.
Please go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Our request there was for concrete flooring in that building, as well as the ventilation system for that livestock pavilion. Right now, the ventilation in that building is substandard, and it limits our use in the summer. It's very hard to cool that building during fair or for any other events. And so that was a request to be able to properly ventilate both of those buildings.
Okay. Madam Chairman.
Go ahead.
I see that there's beginning deterioration of metal and insulation components. Is that in one or both buildings?
That's primarily in the one building, the livestock pavilion, and that's due to the fact that, and that's going to be better now that we're opening that building up and utilizing it more in the wintertime now. Where it was staying shut, we've got the condensation that occurs in there while that building is not used, and it's not a serious problem, but it's beginning to show up, and so we're trying to alleviate that as much as we can.
And the last question, Madam Chairman, is that you've got a breakdown as far as the concrete costs and the insulation or the ventilation costs in each one of those buildings separately, I suppose.
Madam Chair, Senator Meyer, yes, we do. I don't have that information at hand, but yes, that was itemized at the time the request was made. Yes.
Okay. Madam Chairman, if we could get that. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes. Julie, you could put that on your list, too. Okay. Good. Thank you, Mr. Goodrich. Okay. Senator Von Flatern and then Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Goodrich, do you know what you charge for the ice cost? All the ice arenas usually have an hourly charge to teams to use ice. Do you have, besides the lease that you mentioned, do you have what you charge per hour to use the ice?
We don't charge per hour to use the ice. We just have this arrangement with the Douglas Youth Hockey Association, and it's for their utilization. We don't, for instance, have open ice time like we for use by other teams or individuals, et cetera.
Continue.
Thank you. So do they pay you a yearly lease? Is that how you do that? And that covers all their ice use?
Mr. Goodrich.
Madam Chair, Senator Von Feitern, yes. They pay us a monthly lease as well as the utility costs for those, the bulk of the utility costs for those months that they are in there using that.
Do you know what that charge is, what the lease and monthly and utilities and whatever they pay you, I guess?
Madam Chair, Senator Von Feitern, in rough terms, we charge them $900 a month lease, and the bulk of the utility cost is between $1,500 and $1,800 a month, their share of the electricity, what we would normally pay.
So if I understand this correctly, it's $900 plus they pay another $1,500 or so a month, and that's for a three-month, four-month season or so. So one's added to the other?
That is correct. That's for a five-month season.
And also with that, on that subject, how about with the liability insurance? I'm assuming you also that's included in that cost, too, for them.
Madam Chair, the members of the Douglas Youth Hockey Association are covered with a policy covered by the USA Hockey, the league that they are a member of.
Okay.
And so the Youth Hockey Association themselves provides us the standard coverage that we require in a building lease, but the individual participants are covered under their membership with USA Hockey.
Good. Okay, continue.
One more question on that. Does your board sit down and analyze what you should charge for usage? I mean, do they actually analyze? So it's a break even for the state otherwise if they're not part of the fair?
Madam Chair, Mr. Goodrich. Yes, we periodically we do analyze those charges comparative with other facilities around the state and the country, and as to the best of our information available to us, compare those with our utility costs and our costs of operation in order to keep them as reasonable as possible, since we are a public facility and yet still cover as much of the cost as we can and still keep it affordable to those potential tenants.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I was going to ask about the they could give us if they knew the reasoning, because we have no explanation as to why the denial of the funds. But maybe that would be best if and Madam Chairman, I'll ask your opinion that we can get the I'm sure we can get the Building Commission in to explain their rationale or reasoning behind the denial.
Right, Senator Hastert. Actually, the capital facilities, Mr. Cathcart will come in before we do markup and can go through those questions for us on all the capital construction projects. Okay, good. If you would like to prepare a sheet for the committee as to the reason, because we don't have that on that structure, you could do that for us, Mr. Goodrich.
Madam Chair, on the denial or
yes.
On our reasoning for wanting it?
Well, I guess on the reason that you desire it.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. Thank you. We can do that.
We'll get the reason they deny it. Okay, great. And I think we've just covered that HVAC system on that was denied, right,
yes,
Jason?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Madam Chair, and that concludes the request that we had through the governor's process on our budget.
Okay. Committee, are there any further questions of Director Hill? Senator Peterson.
Just for my information, does the county have some type of a contract? I'm sure they utilize the facilities, or do they have their own fairgrounds or the county? And are they charged the similar fees for use of those grounds? I think what we're trying to make sure of and ease our minds is that we're not subsidizing. I think we all want to see the buildings used and utilized, but... And it sounds like, so far, like the Hockey League, they're paying their fair share, in my mind at least. But the county, can you answer that? Do they utilize the facilities?
Mr. Goodrich.
Madam Chair, Senator Peterson, yes, we have an MOU with Converse County where annually we receive $25,000 cash and $25,000 in kind, which we primarily utilize from their road and bridge department to help with maintenance needs that we don't have the equipment for. And in return for that, we hold the Converse County Fair primarily. There are some other Converse County 4-H activities and so forth that we hold in the buildings or on the grounds. And in some cases, they pay by the building, by the hour, in addition to that cash exchange. And then in cases like the Converse County Fair, we hold that event as a part of that $25,000 in cash. And so we are getting a certain amount of support, and they are paying a portion of their way the utilization of the grounds.
Senator Meyer.
This one, and I'm not sure if I'm addressing this to the right source or not to get the answer to this, but I had an occasion to talk to somebody from the, I guess it was water quality or something from the U.S. government, and they were saying about making some changes on stream classifications or something, and I was wondering how that might affect what we're doing with TMDLs and different things, and it almost seemed like some of the work that we've done in the past, they were just going to disregard that. And I think that the conservation districts are working on TMDLs, and we've got some budgets running through your department. I'm just wondering where we're at on that, and if you could give me any information that if there's any changes at the federal level that might affect the efforts that we need to do at the state level.
Okay. Director Farney-Holm.
Madam Chair, Senator Meyer, I think if you would allow me, probably the two best people in the room to answer that question would be Leanne Stevenson with our Natural Resources Division and then Bobby Frank with Wyoming Association of Conservation Districts.
Okay. Ms. Stevenson or Ms. Frank?
Thank you. I'm going to actually defer to Bobby Frank because she can give the work that is being done currently with the conservation districts.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Frank?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Bobby Frank with Wyoming Association of Conservation Districts. Senator Meyer, as you know, the legislature historically since 98, passed funding and appropriated funding to districts to do water quality work on those streams identified as impaired or threatened by the Department of Environmental Quality. Districts have done watershed plans on all of those listed streams. We had a window of opportunity for those watershed plans to be implemented and restore the water quality to the state standards and subsequently be delisted in concurrent years 303D lists. Because a number of those waters have been listed beyond that window of opportunity, which is defined by EPA at approximately 10 to 13 years, they have directed the state that they needed to start writing TMDLs on those water bodies where we have watershed plans. So the Department of Environmental Quality actually leads the TMDL development effort, mm-hmm. and they are doing so. The watershed plans are still pertinent. They're still being implemented, and they're still going to be important as the TMDLs are developed to demonstrate both the data that's at the local level that's been collected by the districts over the years, as well as to demonstrate and document the implementation measures that have occurred within those watersheds. Madam Chair, does that answer your question, Senator Meyer?
I think in part, Bobby, on what we're doing, I had just heard that there's going to maybe be a change of something on the federal level that was going to maybe make us do some of our work again, and I'm not exactly sure what that was, but I could maybe get some more information.
Okay. Madam Chair, just mm-hmm. two other issues you might be referencing, Senator Meyer. One is there was an effort this summer with the conservation districts working cooperatively with the Department of Environmental Quality to address the contact recreation designations on Wyoming's waters. Mm-hmm. DEQ had proposed a methodology to split out those that are primary contact rec from those that are secondary, i.e. swimming versus wading.
Yeah.
EPA disapproved those rules at least 2 years ago, approximately 2 years ago. So DEQ came up with a modeling approach to solve that problem, and it would save a substantial amount of their time and money and the state's time and money and the local government's time and money. The model, however, districts stepped up to help them collect field verification data, so it might be that project.
Right.
Conversely, the other thing that is occurring is, as you're all aware, there was legislation in Congress to redefine navigable water at the federal level to exert jurisdiction over virtually every drop of water that could fall. That legislation did not move forward in Congress. EPA just recently issued some guidance that hasn't actually come out publicly, and like they are doing on other issues, they're proposing to redefine through internal EPA guidance what they consider to be jurisdictional waters. From what we've heard, it would take us back to EPA exerting jurisdiction over virtually everything. Maybe that's what you're referencing.
Okay. Good. All right. And also, folks, we have Senator Jim Anderson in the room, and I'd like to recognize him and give him courtesy to speak on behalf of the Ag Department, if you would like, or anything else you have on your mind on Friday afternoon.
Well, thank you, Chairman Berger, and I guess the fact that I'm here is no accident.
Yeah. Wouldn't be that you represent
that
area.
You know, I heard the questions, and having sat on that side for 6 years, they're all excellent questions. It does relate to a very important facility in my district, one which I have a lot of regard for. Questions in regard to the buildings, you know, I think most of the buildings are up, complete, although it may be some adjustments according to certain standards. I think that's something that this committee can take credit for.
Yeah.
The other thing, I think that there was a considerable amount of money appropriated in times past that was to go towards infrastructure, utilities, and that. That, I think, has been used wisely and put into place, and I would compliment the director on that. I think that he, to the letter, fulfilled his obligation in regard to apply those monies. So having said that, I think maybe that I heard one question that I would like to respond to, one coming from new member, Senator Von Slater, and that is in regard to the ice arena. My detection was is who owns the ice and who owns the arena. I think it must be clearly understood that that club owns the arena, so therefore, and the cooling facility and all that goes with that. They then install that when time comes, then they utilize that, manage that, and when time comes, then they disassemble that, take it out of there. So, you know, that is their facility within the state facility, so I think that's a one to clear. Having said that, I think these people are doing an excellent job of maintaining, I think, a resource. I'd like to say that in the coming 2012 year, we're going to have a 100-year celebration. It's a celebration for not only State Fair, and Douglas is a celebration for the whole state. Mm-hmm. I would encourage you to come participate in that. You know, I made some statements in regard to victories within the state legislature, and I would just simply say, that's a victory that we should celebrate. So we would invite all of you to attend that and participate. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Yes. Thank you, President Anderson. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Director and staff. I think that we're in good shape for the moment, and we'll let you know if we need to call back and if you have a further addition to the comments.
Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Next up is livestock. Board? Thank you. And I thought, committee, we wouldn't take a break. We'd just continue so that we can get you out here since it's a Friday afternoon.
McKinsey say it. Everybody's an expert. They've been to school one time. You, you having some hot flashes here, or what? What's warm in here? You're getting all worked up. More than long.
Thanks, Don. Hi. Good. How are you?
You gotta listen to this, Robin.
All right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have the Livestock Board, Agency 51. We have Mr. Schwartz. Welcome. Good afternoon. Thank you for waiting. And you can introduce your staff, too, please.
Thank you. Again, Jim Schwartz, the director of the Livestock Board. Actually, I'm the first director that this agency has ever had, so it's been a real experience, as most of you probably already know. I guess, real short, I have Ann Iske here with me. She's our financial budget control person. We actually have a small agency, so she wears a lot of hats. She's also my human resources person, and she does a lot of work with our emergency management. So we wear a lot of hats in our agency because we do have such few people. Behind me, I have Dr. Bob Meyer. He's our new assistant state vet. He comes to us after a lot of years with APHIS and doing us a good job. And probably most importantly, I got my board president, Rob Orchard, here. And he traveled all the way down today to kind of see how the process works and to maybe have some interaction. You know, give you a little bit of an overview. The Livestock Board consists of seven members, and usually three are cattle and three are sheep, and one can kind of float. But we have some really good board members. They serve on six-year terms, but they are a policy-making board, which is quite a bit different than advisory, and they make a lot of decisions, and when I mess up, they darn sure let me know. So it's a really good board, a really good system. I appreciate their input and the value of working with them. Dr. Logan did want to be here today. He's our state veterinarian. He also works for the board. He has recently went through some surgery and is still on some recovery, but he's getting better every day, so I think we'll have him back with us by the end of the month. To give you kind of a quick overview of our agency, we can oversee the livestock industry, and that's about an $88 million business for the state of Wyoming. So it's important to every local community, and things that we do impact a lot of the community efforts. So we work really hard to work within the communities. Our first probably major program that's been around a long time is the brand program, and it's divided into two primary areas. Our brand recording program, we have about 30,000 brands recorded in the state of Wyoming. So it's a huge effort. You know, I'd be honest with you, I think I only got 9,000 agriculture outfits in the state of Wyoming, so we have a lot of brands. So 30,000. Part of the issue that was in the past on the brand recording is they were issued for 10 years, and we'd go for 10 years without a lot for things to do, and then all of a sudden you had to renew 30,000 brands every 10 years. We've staggered that now, so we're doing about a fifth of them every 2 years, and that works a lot better. Our brand inspection program is critical to our agency. They work in every one of your communities. They are all contract employees. We have about 60 full-time brand inspectors across the state and about 38 or 39 part-time. These are contract employees, but we're fortunate that they do get retirement and health care, which is a real beneficial to them and has really allowed us to get some really quality brand inspectors throughout Wyoming. It's been kind of a changing role with brand inspectors. It used to be that was their sole job, was checking brands, but today they're livestock inspectors, and they actually make sure that animal health regulations are followed when people are shipping, make sure they have their right inspections, and they're working a lot harder when there's major disease issues. I mean, they are the guys that kind of know what's going on in the community, and they make me look good a lot of times. I have about four people in brand recording. In law enforcement, for the entire state of Wyoming, I have 5.5 employees that try to enforce all the legislative and rules that we have, all the statutes that we have regarding livestock movements and ownership. So they're spread really thin. Each one of them covers about five counties. It's a big job, and they're always behind. One of the issues that's really impacted law enforcement, and you'll be seeing some of those issues coming up, is animal welfare. When the Livestock Board was established, many years ago at any rate, it said the Livestock Board is in charge of the welfare of every living dumb creature. And that's what it states in the statute today. We're going to be working with you and some others on trying to make sure that we protect the livestock industry. We have a lot of people today that are concerned that branding's cruel and unusual punishment. They don't like dehorning. They don't like spaying. They don't like castration. We need to protect the animal husbandry practices that go on with agriculture. And it'll also take a look at the rodeo events in the future. So those are some things that will be coming up. On the welfare side of it with pets, we get calls almost daily from somebody that's worried about somebody's pets not being taken care of. Fortunately, some of the towns and cities have been able to take on some of that issue, and it's helped us a lot. But counties have to work under the state, and so we still get a lot of calls, and we don't really do a lot of justice. One of the things that we're going to try to do this year is to try to look at the two major issues across Wyoming. I mean, one of them was in Park County this year, one in Laramie County, but seems like hoarding's getting to be a bigger issue, and then puppy mills and kitten mills and those kinds of things. So we're going to look at maybe some potential legislation that'll give the counties the authority to enforce those, but also maybe some resources if they'll do it. So that'll be something we're looking at in the near future.
Director Schwartz, and I know you and I have visited about some of these issues in previous years, and I know it's been complicated to get all the folks interested and working on these issues to the table, but I do see that a puppy mill bill is coming that was introduced by Senator Geis, and I also, we were addressing some issues this morning with, you know, feral animals and animals at large, et cetera, which are bits and pieces kind of what your whole effort had been beforehand. And so not that this particularly pertains to your budget, but on the efforts of bringing these folks together, how are you looking at doing that or continuing this discussion?
Well, Madam Chair, we were working really closely to try to work with County Commissioners Association and with the County Chiefs and Sheriffs Association, and actually we have worked with HSUS trying to figure out if there's some middle ground we can find there. There'll be issues that we can't, but a lot of them we can, so we're working really closely to try to do that.
Good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Carrying on just a little bit, animal health is, of course, the major issue that we spend an awful lot of our time on, and most of you are probably tired as I am of hearing the word brucellosis.
Yeah.
But, it's a fact of life. Our cattle are darn clean, but we still have a considerable amount of prevalence in the elk, as high as 37% within our herd. And so we still got a lot of work to do and a lot of issues there. We have some concerns that the federal government's trying to back out of their support, and that worries me critically. Our agency is small. We have about six people in administration, which includes myself and Ann and Dr. Logan and a few other, and two others. But we're a very small agency. We have about 20 full-time employees and then about 99 of our brand inspectors. So we're a small agency with a huge job. And it keeps us busy, but what's even better is every day is a new issue, so we learn every day. And I guess I'd answer any questions that you might have. I just want to give you a quick overview, and then we can talk about some of our budget items.
Okay, if you're okay with this, Director Schwartz, I think what we'll do is we'll start with your supplemental budget requests and then allow the committee to ask questions, and that might divert somewhat in educating them on your organization. And also, we know the governor suggested support on one of your particular supplemental budget requests, too. And we also have a letter from Representative Wallace in support of the computer technology request. So when we get to that point, we can discuss that, too.
Madam Chair, I think that's where I'd like to start is on page 14 of our supplemental budget request. Well, 13 and 14, but we've been working with OCIO. Bob von Wolfrat's here with us today to try to figure out the best way to get our agency computerized. Today, if there's a disease traceback, we got to go through boxes and boxes of brand inspection forms. It's not a very effective or efficient program, but it does work. But it's just not, I mean, we need to move into the next century. And part of it, it's been reluctance, but a lot of it's been the financial resources to get the job done. Our recommendation was to put together a business plan, and we have done that and worked with a contractor to look at a business plan for the overall computerization. It would cost a huge amount of money to kind of bring everything up to date, probably somewhere in the vicinity of $1.4 million. We kind of realize that that's probably a dream right now, so we're trying to figure out how to do it more conservative. We're proposing that we use an existing computer language and a program that's been designed for South Dakota so that we can get our brand inspection program computerized. It won't be the best system in the world, but it'll be functional for us. And I think it'll be something the brand inspectors will be willing to do because it's functioning in South Dakota. I'd be the first to admit that I have a lot of older brand inspectors that are pretty reluctant to become computerized, but so was I when I started out, so I think they'll come along. I don't think it's going to be easy, but I think we'll come along.
Director Schwartz, can you tell me, or we could have Bob von Wolfrat visit with us about this, but what about if the investment was made of the 300, or based on the request that you have here, the 361, what happens if that were to be passed and we implement that, and are we able to utilize that as we move into the future in designing more of your facility for IT? Bob, would you like? We've got the mobile mic there. And Jim, if you turn yours off, it helps with the feedback. Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I need to say for the first minute here how the Livestock Board and Director Schwartz have worked very hard over the last 3 years in taking a hard look at their processes and then walking through the enormous amount of self-study and analysis it takes before we would let them entertain a budget request with the governor's office. But I have to tell you, for the last 3 years, we have supported, I think the first one was around $1.4 million, which was kind of the overhaul. The second year, we had to bring that down based on some requests in the previous administration, so that was around $700,000. During the last budget cycle in the previous administration, we also carried forward the need of the Livestock Board to get some automation. I think that was around the $361,000. Every one of those budget requests were denied, and as a result, the Livestock Board has continued to work and be saturated with paper and manual processes. And as you know, it's not only disease, but just operations are at the speed of light today. And without automation, they're not going to get any better, and they're not going to leverage what they have today. So we do support it. There is some discussion that we need to have with the Livestock Board about the particular solution. But the way I look at this is we've asked for funds for the last 3 years that haven't manifested themselves into reality. We would never want to invest in anything that we couldn't leverage, and that's why we need to have the discussion with them moving forward. We don't want to just take money and buy something off the shelf and hope it works. We want to take a look at it first. But it's definitely needed and overdue.
Okay. Representative Patterson.
And Turnbull, will you remind me, as we go through and if in this request, the purchase of the hardware, and obviously you have on there the mobile printers and laptops and things, I just, what's your cycle for what's our state policy cycle for updating hardware?
Bob. Madam Chair, right now it's about 4 years for PCs and 3 years for laptops. We're still going through a little bit of cycling on that. There's a couple agencies that we're picking up some lease arrangements and turning those into purchases, so that might fluctuate in 11 and 12, but that's kind of the standard. The issue is on this particular budget request, the Livestock Board put that in there. It wasn't our exact recommendation to buy that laundry list that's on there. It was our recommendation to fund them to get a solution. So that what you see there may change slightly based on our discussions with Livestock.
Okay. And, Bob, are you intending to update this list before we go into markup? Or
we can.
Okay.
We can, Madam Chair. We can have that brief discussion probably by Monday or Tuesday.
That would be good. And if we could just have it here in JAC by next Thursday, that would, I think, would help us with markup.
Director Schwartz, you're okay with that? Okay.
And I think if you just, on that handout, to make it all work out well, is just to look at the phasing process so that we have an understanding at the end of the project what it's going to look like for the Livestock Board if you had the continued support.
I think that's a really good idea because I think that's one of the problems we had in looking at what is the long-term solution. Well, if it's $3 million or $2 million or $1.8, what is it? This would obviously be a phase one of that. So you need, as we embark on that, we need to realize what that investment is going to be in the out years.
Good. And then I think, Director Schwartz, as we have these comments, I believe that this handout, number 26, is it? Is that in regard the responses that are in red from the denial? Yes. If you can incorporate that in your handout, some of this terminology, that would probably be helpful so that we don't we end up with so many different documents that it would probably be good when we're doing markup if we have one concise document for you.
We will make sure that happens by next Thursday.
Okay, thank you very much.
And I do appreciate that. You will notice that even in the governor's recommendation that he appropriated the money out of our earmarked account.
Mm-hmm.
And many of you remember when my brand program went broke, and we've worked really hard and been very conservative. So we have some money in that account today, and I guess I am more than willing to use this money out of the earmarked account, even though I worry that I'd like to keep that for savings in case we have another drought or a disease of some kind. But right now, the way that the request would be, it'd be out of our earmarked account.
Okay. Senator Meyer.
Director Schwartz, could we get a kind of a summary of what that earmarked account is, because I've got those same concerns. I don't want to dip water out of this well and find out that it's empty, and 3 years from now we're back to the same spot that we were. I want to have a good comfort level. I want to support your technology request, but I still want to have a comfort level on that.
Senator Meyer, if I could interject there, too, I think that for the new members, they weren't here when you had a negative zero balance. So it'd probably be good to start with, would that have been 4 years ago, maybe, that we had to infuse funds into that account for you? It wasn't a good day for you, I remember that. But if we could possibly start with that negative story to the where you are today, that would probably be a good thing for us to have.
I'm sure we'll do that. I mean, I wasn't working for the Livestock Board when that happened, and that's probably the reason they decided to hire a director to kind of help with the overseeing of the operations. But the brand program did go broke, and the governor did infuse $500,000, I believe, to help the program out. So it's been a huge job. We've been super conservative, and it depends on exactly the time of the year, because shipping season, our balance always looks really good, and then as we get later, it goes down some. But we're looking at between $2 and $2.5 million today in that account, which sounds like a huge amount of money, but it's about 6 months reserve. And I really do appreciate that being an insurance account for the program for the long term, because if we had one major disease issue or another drought issues where numbers go to nothing, we're in trouble. And so I appreciate it, and we will get that information to you, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Director. Continue.
The next issue, the next request was on page 15, and this request was for some new printers. Originally, it was denied by the governor, and it was consequently been turned. A lot of our printers are really getting old and need to be replaced. It was for $4,006. Governor Mead has decided that that might be a good recommendation.
Okay.
The next one is also on page 15, and it's for a server switch for our computer system at a cost of about $6,800. And in order to get the new servers and everything, it's been requested from our ITD people that we get this done, and we're working really hard to do that, and that was approved. Next is on page 19, and it's an issue I'd like to visit with the committee about a little bit.
Go ahead.
We did have some additional brucellosis. In fact, we had two herds that showed up in Park County, and you know, in the past, the only brucellosis we had was tied to elk feed grounds or around elk feed grounds. This is the first time it's been out of the area with feed grounds, so consequently, the governor was good enough to have some foresight to see that we might need some additional testing money. Dr. Meyer and our field veterinarian have done an outstanding job of doing a lot of testing. I think we're gonna be in fairly good shape, but probably in the future we're gonna have some more of these issues that are gonna come down on us. I guess as I looked at this $500,000, I mean, I don't think we'll probably use all that money. In fact, I know right now today we won't unless we have additional herds. But I was wondering if the committee might consider looking at a little bit of another kind of an insurance program for the agency. On the second, on the bottom of the page where it talks about the Park County deal, I would ask you to maybe consider that we change this to disease outbreaks and not ask for any more money, but the same amount of money, but that the money could be used for surveillance, monitoring, testing, or livestock indemnity related to disease issues. And I guess I'm still very comfortable with leaving this in a permanent account at the state auditor's office that require the governor's authorization for access to the account. I guess all it really does is give us a place to go if we had a major disease hit. And I've broadened this out so it isn't just brucellosis. It could be tuberculosis or foot and mouth disease or whatever the disease is. It would give the governor and the state veterinarian the tools to maybe move quickly and efficiently rather than having to wait to come back to the legislature for some additional money. And we also do revert some money out of the brucellosis program back to the general fund. If we could start building that fund, and then the legislature could establish a cap or whatever they felt, but just some way that if a major disease hit our industry, that we'd be able to react to it. And I just ask for your consideration.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Director Schwartz, I just want to make sure I'm following you. You're talking about the $500,000 that the governor set aside as possible testing for brucellosis?
On page 19 of the budget.
That's on page 19.
That is correct,
okay,
sir.
Okay, follow up on that, madam. The way I read this, it says the funding is to be transferred and held in account with a footnote requiring the governor's authorization. I guess the first line where it says brucellosis testing kind of ties your hands there, and you're asking that it be a little more liberal, that it could be used for what somebody would designate as a major outbreak of a disease? Is that how you'd like it written in some manner?
Madam Chair, Senator Van Plattern, that's exactly right. I mean, a lot of issues come up when we're trying to do some of this work. For example, we've had to haul some animals down to have them culture tested, and we'd like to have been able to pay that producer for those animals. They got a little bit of my $250 from the federal government, but those animals are worth $1,200. So we're seeing some issues that I think that if the state vet would go to the governor and say, is this a viable expense for a disease control issue? If diseases like foot and mouth disease or TB hit Wyoming, the state veterinarian would need to go to the governor and say, governor, we got some major issues. This is where we're looking for a management plan. And then the governor could say, yes, we better do it, or no, we better not. I mean, I think it fosters good communications between the governor and the state veterinarian and allows us the ability to react quickly and efficiently.
One other question then. So you still see it as your group, your state veterinarian, making a good case to the governor and then the governor releasing it, not just there based on the state veterinarian say that he could use it?
Director.
Madam Chair, yes, Senator Van Platten. I think it's really good to have the governor involved in all of these, and I'd like to have the governor's approval. Every time we've had a major disease, even if it's just a smaller deal with a foreign animal disease with two horses, the governor seems to get the calls before we do many times. So it's just really good if we do have good coordination in that area, and I know my state veterinarian is really willing to work very closely with the governor on that.
Senator Meyer.
Director Schwartz, do you have the language that you wanted to propose in the footnote prepared, or could you prepare that for us so we know that we got everything that you want to have in the footnote covered? Then, Madam Chairman, I think we need to look at, too, whether or not I don't believe this falls into the emergency fund that the governor normally has for emergencies. And I think we need to be careful about establishing a lot of an emergency funds. I think in this particular case, it's warranted, but we probably ought to make sure that these type of things don't already fall into that emergency classification of the fund that we already have developed.
Right. So I guess what we'd do is request you to visit with the governor's office and with your staff, and then before Thursday, if you can come with a recommendation, if it's valid, on that. Committee, any other questions? Oh, Representative Esquivel and then Patterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just wondering, being you on this committee, to access emergency funds like that are held in the auditor's office, how fast can that process go? From the moment you get a call or the governor gets a call and they're able to get you the money?
Representative, maybe someone from A&I can answer that.
Madam Chairman, it's around 2 days, 3 days. It doesn't take very long.
2 or 3 days.
Two or three days, yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Okay. Representative Patterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Director, I wanted you to expand for a minute on the last piece that you included in here, this becoming a standard appropriation item within the budget. And I don't have any issue necessarily with this becoming an available account, but am I reading that it would be $500,000 a biennium?
Director Schwartz.
Madam Chair, Representative Patterson, that is correct. You know, I struggled with that for a while, but the truth is we've had three new brucellosis cases this year, and when I talked to my state veterinarian, he says, I'm surprised that's all we've seen. So with wolves moving elk around like they are and the things that are going on, the different, you know, it's just be a savings account, but if the legislature wants to establish a cap on that account, you know, if we don't use the money, I'm tickled to death.
Right. I guess that one thing, though, Director Schwartz, is that when we did have the major outbreaks, we did come to the table. Maybe it wasn't as expedient as it was needed for you and the state veterinarian, but to address the issues. So that we do have to take into consideration also.
Madam Chair, that's exactly right. I mean, with huge amounts of money we've spent in Wyoming on brucellosis, and it's been a really thankful thing for most of the producers, especially in a designated surveillance area. Yeah, it slowed down progress somewhat in terms of testing, but, you know, if you'd rather that we didn't do this and would wait till we just come back on an annual basis or something, if that's a better way to do business. It just concerns me that, you know, this would give the governor and the state vet the ability to act more rapidly.
Okay. Well, we'll follow. If you'll get that information to us, then we'll have the discussion during markup. Thank you, Director Schwartz. Okay. Next item.
Next item is on page 24. First one's regarding our radios, our Civics communications. With the new WildLink, we're pretty sure that we're going to be short some money there. We asked for $33,000. The governor's recommended $17,000. And the funding will need to be biennialized and included in the 13-14 budget. I think we're okay with this, that we can evaluate over the year where we're at and then come back to the committee if we're, you know, if we find out we're off too far.
Director Schwartz, have you implemented some of this program with the radios, and how effective has it been for you?
Madam Chair, our law enforcement people have been working on the WildLink, and they've found it to be very effective. We have one of our law enforcement people in Cokeville, and he's able to talk to the person in Cheyenne. So it's been fairly successful. There's still a few areas where we're concerned. We have initiated some portable radios to our brand inspectors for not only, but for safety as well as for being able to do up some follow-up on emergency issues. And they work fairly well. I mean, they're not as strong as a system within the cars, but they've worked pretty well for us. I think there will be some glitches yet, and some of our inspectors are having trouble getting to use them efficiently and effectively, but it's a step in the right direction.
Good. All right. Next item.
Next item is also on page 24. It's the printing of our brand books. This kind of goes back a while. Normally, we've always printed the brand books, and it's, I mean, we're actually even directed in our statutes to print it. It got left out one year, and we came back and asked for an exception, and then we didn't biennialize it, so now we're back again. But the governor did recommend the $20,000 for that.
Good. Right. Committee, are there any further questions of the director? Director. Senator Von Flayton. Flayton has
just want to clarify a point. Director Schwartz, did you say that they do have some handheld radios that are compatible, that do work with WildLink? I just noticed the narrative in here said that currently none of the radios are compatible with the impending WildLink. On page 23.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Senator Van Flayton. Yes, it's been within the last 2 months that we've been able to get some handheld radios, and we actually did that through the Office of Homeland Security.
Okay. Just want to clarify. Thank you.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Continue, Director Schwartz.
Our last issue is on page 25 for our G-Form riders. The governor recommended of the $10,000, $5,000 for this issue, and that we'd revisit it in the future. You know, a lot of our producers can pick up a G-Form and take cattle to Belfouche, and so we have G-Form riders. We pay them, we have contracts with them. We pay them $1 per form issued, and, you know, in 09 we spent about $3,840, and then the 10 was about $6,600, so... The $5,000 will probably be fine for 1 year, but we'll probably have to audit that very closely and then come back for the 13-14 budget.
So you're currently doing an analysis on and a projection of what you think that's going to be for the next budget?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Okay. Any further questions of the committee? Any further comments, Director Schwartz?
I just appreciate what the legislature's done for our agency. I think we're doing really good. You know, we've come a long ways from when I started, and I'm pretty proud of it. You know, the legislator has seen fit to give me a field veterinarian, and it's been a godsend with all these disease issues we've had to deal with. And I think the agency's doing very well. I think there's going to be a lot of issues for a long time in terms of animal ID and lots of other issues. But we're getting there. We're doing really well.
Senator Von Platern?
One more question. I just wanted to clarify, being the freshman on the committee here, when on page 14 where you called it the earmarked fund, is that your operational fund that you get a lot when they're shipping cows and then you use it to operate all year? Is that what you mean by the term earmarked fund?
Karen, that's not the right term for the revenue account.
Madam Chair, we call it earmarked. It's their fees that they receive from the brand inspections and that.
So is that their enterprise?
It's a special revenue account.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think over the years it's just become, we know it as the earmarked account.
But it's just like state parks and other organizations that receive fees that go back into their operations.
Yeah. The difference is these don't revert. They continue.
That's because they didn't have anything to start with, so that's why they're not reverting. But, yeah, that's a very good question. So, all right. Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
All right, committee, we're back 8 o'clock on, Monday. With University of Wyoming Community Colleges, and then in the afternoon, we're on January 17th, it's Tourism Board, State Parks, and the Board of Equalization and in the afternoon. Yeah, so 8 a.m., everyone have a good weekend. Thank you for all your hard work. We're all back in the saddle.